Tonight we'll look into the book of Revelation, the third chapter, and I'll read verses 7 through 10. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, "These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth." What a blessing it must have been for the church in Philadelphia to receive this message from the Lord. This was the sixth of seven messages that were given to the Apostle John to share with the churches of Asia Minor. And each of the locations received a message concerning their spiritual condition. There are important, maybe, assessments or reviews, gradings that each of us have had come up, perhaps a finals term paper, a dissertation, maybe a performance review, an audit, or an inspection. I think all of us would say they can create anxiety. We await to hear the results of those. How much more must it have been to know that the God of heaven was going to perform an assessment, a review? His messages to the seven churches, though, were not just like a performance review that may be open to debate or areas of it could be questioned. No, it says here that he is holy. So his assessment is perfect. It is 100% accurate because he is true. And what was his conclusion? That's what you want to see. If you have one of those, you'll look over it, but you quickly want to get down to the bottom line. Did I pass? What was my score? How well did I do? Well, here in verse 8, it says, "I know thy works." God is thorough. He looked at it all. He said, "Behold, I have set before thee an open door." Well, that must have been wonderful to hear that. The way is clear. You have access to blessing. You have reward. And in this case, it would have been of significance to the church of Philadelphia. The term used here, the city itself, was a strategic outpost to Rome. They had rebuilt Philadelphia after it was destroyed by an earthquake in 17 AD, in part because Philadelphia was considered the doorway to the east. You had to go through there to get to many of the trade routes. So the terminology that the Lord uses always speaks to our heart. It would have been a pagan city following the practices of Rome. And at this time, Rome was severely persecuting the Christian faith. We also see in the text that was read that the local Jewish synagogue joined in persecuting the church there in Philadelphia. That means they would have tried to get them to deny that Jesus was the Son of God, that he was the Messiah, to renounce their Christian faith. And to all of this, again, the Lord said, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. I think all of us here understand the meaning of that, that having an open door is something that feels good. It's something, I would say, as U.S. citizens, when you travel, for the most part, having a U.S. passport, it feels good. It gives you generally access almost everywhere that you go. During our recent trip to Africa, Brother Daryl and I were in Nairobi, Kenya, and our first leg as far as itineraries ended there. So we thought, well, we'll go through passport control, collect our luggage, and go check in. We only had 9 hours to do that. So we thought that would be the first plan. But we got to passport control, and the door was closed. And they denied us access and told us that we needed to head down another hall, and there that was for connection flights, and we could give somebody there our luggage information. And so we did that. And it worked out good for Brother Daryl and myself. It didn't work out so good for our luggage. We arrived the next day in Zambia. It took our luggage another day to get there. But the Border Patrol agents there, they had the authority. They had the authority to open that access, that door, and the authority to close it. The access, though, that the Lord was referring to here as an open door, first, it was the ability for them to preach the gospel, to have it go forth with liberty. And that is a common term that you can find in the New Testament. Luke in chapter 14, verse 27 of the book of Acts, with regard to Paul and Barnabas returning to the church in Antioch, he said, they had gathered the church together, and they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. What did that mean? They were there, and their ability to reach out to the Gentiles had been an open door. It was received because God was the one who had opened it. So the hearts were ready to receive it. The Apostle Paul used this same expression in the church at Corinth at the end of the first letter to them. He said that I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me. He said, I need to stay here because God has granted me liberty to effectively deliver his message. And later he wrote, recorded in 2 Corinthians, again concerning his missionary journey, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord. So he recognized we can have plans, we can attempt to do something, but we want God to provide us that open door. That's where the message can be effective and received. When instructing the church of Colossae, the Apostle Paul told them and admonished them to continue in prayer and watch. And the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ. He's saying we need to pray for this. We need to ask God if we're going to be a witness, if we're going to go to others that do not know Christ, to give us that door of utterance, to open that way for us to be able to say something for Him that will be received. And so this was what the Lord had granted first to the church in Philadelphia, an open door to preach the gospel, to present it with His anointing upon it, with His power, with Holy Ghost conviction. And we thank God that we can be in services like here tonight and feel that God has provided us an open door. The second half of verse 8 provides definition to what He said when He said, I have looked at your works, I know them. He went on to say, first, for thou hast a little strength. Second, and has kept my word. And third, has not denied my name. Thou hast a little strength. That tells you they were humble. They were not looking at their own abilities. They understood that they needed the Lord. With themselves, they were nothing. Unlike King Saul, who allowed pride to get in there, who thought he could do something, they stayed little in their own eyes. They likely had read Paul's letter to the church in Corinth, where Paul said that he had something that he needed prayer. He sought the Lord three times for it. And then the Lord told him, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul learned a great spiritual truth that he then applied to his life. He said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. Can you say that? In reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. He realized when I don't have the ability, God then can work and help me in all of these trials, in all of these situations that I find myself in. And sometimes that's just what it takes for you and me to realize that we have to get out of the way and realize that He doesn't even want us to try to do these things on our own. He wants us to rely on Him and His ability and His desire to help us. Jesus told His disciples, great illustration, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. That's the way it works. It's not going to work any other way. You go up to a vine and you cut off a twig, it's done. It's not going to produce anything. So we have to be reliant on the Lord. Without me, ye can do nothing. They kept His word, meaning they followed His teachings. I would think they were a church that got a hold of every letter that was being circulated that they could get. They were true to the apostolic faith, meaning the faith of the apostles, the letters that they sent, the teachings, the stories, the accounts that they would have heard of Christ. They clung to those. They wanted to take that word in and to apply it. They knew that that was their very lifeline, and they took it seriously. They would have been ones that wanted to follow the Lord's commands, not because they were trying, like the law, to follow a set of rules. But you can see here, they did it because of the love of Christ. The Lord said, if you love me, keep my commandments. They would have been faithful in observing the ordinances and keeping a hunger for righteousness. Like Job, I think they too would say, I have esteemed thy words of his mouth more than my necessary food. And then it says they did not deny his name. You know, we increasingly are living more and more in a world that is anti-Christian. It's anti-Israel. And we're watching this unfold before our eyes. Well, they lived, again, in a time of intense persecution against them. But they did not deny his name. No, they wouldn't do that. They did not bow to the local government that was telling them to renounce their faith. They did not bow to the Jewish synagogue who was telling them to deny that Jesus was the Son of God. About 18 years ago, I met a man who lived in the former Soviet Union. He was, I think, perhaps in his late 80s, and was in what was likely the most repressed country within the Eastern Bloc, the Republic of Moldova. He got saved as a young man. Got all of his experiences. A couple days after he was married, officials showed up at his door and told him to renounce his faith, to deny the Lord. He wouldn't do it. He was sent to the gulags in Siberia for 10 years. He said he didn't even know how he survived. They fed him so little and worked him so hard. After 10 years, he was returned home, was with his wife for 2 months, then both of them were sent to the gulags in Siberia. You know, he would tell you that in that he had a little strength. He didn't even know how they survived that situation. But they kept the word. They refused to deny his name. And listening to him and just watching the glow on his face as he smiled and said, I have no regrets. I don't regret for one moment anything that I suffered for Christ. He's been so good to me. That's the kind of faith. That's how you have an open door in serving God. Like those that are identified in Revelation 12:11, it says they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimonies, and they loved not their lives unto the death. That's how you have an open door. Because it's beyond just an open door to be able to effectively give your witness. We need to do that for sure. You can see how powerful that was for the church in Philadelphia here in verse 9. It says, behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. That open door, he was saying, is going to lead you as you witness to these other Jews that they're going to come into the church and you're going to see them kneel at the place of prayer. They're going to worship right before your feet and they're going to know that I have loved the church here and they're going to give their lives to the Lord. They had that because they had an open door. God gave them an open door. But that open door also comes with an eternal reward. It says, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, because you have kept the word that you've endured, he said, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. And this was probably twofold. They probably had other trials coming for that church, but they had a promise from God. I'm going to keep you. I've given you an open door. And that open door is going to keep you in my love. But it was also a reference to the great tribulation that was going to come at the end of time upon the whole earth. And the Apostle John, who delivered this message, he had the privilege to see that open door in chapter 4, verse 1. It says, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which saith, come up hither. That's like a preview of the rapture. That if we keep that open door with the Lord, we don't have to worry when that trumpet sounds. There is a door opened in heaven for us. Whether it's by way of the grave or way of the rapture, when that summons comes, come up hither. It's going to be wonderful because we have an open door. What a hope that gives us. I'm thankful when I step in the house of God that we can feel that He has given us an open door. And that open door also means you have access to what? The promises of God. That means if you need something, you need a deeper experience. Don't turn away from that open door. He's provided it. The way is open. It's just up to us to believe it and take advantage of it. You can see how Paul and the others looked at it. They thought, we need that open door. Well, you don't have to wonder about it. It's open tonight. And you can have assurance, not just that He is going to give you the promises from His Word, but you can also have assurance in your heart that yet there's an eternal reward and you have an open door for that. As we open the altars tonight, take advantage of the opportunity that is before you. God has an open door for you. The song's 207 and the altars are open.